are listening to Conversations with Nathan Latka, where I sit down and interview the top SaaS founders, like Eric Yuan from Zoom. If you'd like to subscribe, go to getlatka.com. We've published thousands of these interviews, and if you want to sort through them quickly by revenue or churn, CAC, valuation, or other metrics, the easiest way to do that is to go to getlatka.com and use our filtering tool. It's like a big Excel sheet for all of these podcast interviews. Check it out right now at getlatka.com.
Dreamdata.io.com launched many years ago, broke $3 million run rate today, up from $1.5 million just a year ago. They also, beginning of last year, closed a $7 million Series A round. Company and employees still own about 50% of the company. They're burning about $30,000 a month right now, but plenty of runway. They've hired a team of 45. They're hiring ahead of revenue, obviously trying to grow into that revenue figure and their cost structure over the next 12 to 18 months, hoping to double the $3 million run rate today up to $6 million by the end of the year as they compete in the B2B marketing SaaS, and most importantly, just organizing your data in the marketing org space with a complete and very clear pricing plan. ARPUs today in the $2,000 per month range, $25,000 per year across 120 paying customers. Hey folks, my guest today is Lars Ganagal. He is a UX pioneer turned product person turned entrepreneur. He's now building a company called dreamdata.com, which is B2B customer data activation. Lars, you ready to take us to the top?
Hey Nathan, great to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here. So look, one of the things when I was preparing for this, I look at your website and it says, quote, B2B marketing connected to pipeline and revenue. There are so many companies in this space. They say they use AI and machine learning and they're going to beat ZoomInfo, and then you never know who's real and who's legit, and then they all buy each other's data. How are you different?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. So I think fundamentally, there is a lot of MarTech companies out there and SaaS companies out there in the SaaS space for sure. Like everybody probably knows the 10,000 logo graphic from Scott Brinker. I think fundamentally, like all those products exist for good reasons. Like we all want to serve our customers well. We all want to automate our go-to-market. We all want to, you know, deliver on self-service, enable people to buy without talking too much to sales. And like each of these products are purchased to run those efficient processes and to be data driven. But fundamentally, like what happens is every time you add a new product, you add a new data silo. So every time you add a product, you create a new space for your customer data to live. And our goal is sort of is to solve that. Mm-hmm. So not just create another data silo, but actually like get all the data out of the different products, build one unified idea about what the customer journey looks like. And then with that, you can start seeing things like what's the impact of marketing on revenue, or this campaign, how did that impact my revenue, or I want to target my top customers. Now you have all the data in one space.
Mm-hmm. Now you built a great product at Trustpilot. We use that company. We're very happy with Trustpilot. You were VP of product there. You kicked this off, this company off in 2018. And I remember you told me in our episode from 2021, you split equity. There's three co-founders. You kept 40. Ole kept 40. And the third co-founder had another 20. So that adds up to 80. And then you sold, I think, you raised a $4 million seed round at a $20 million valuation. So you sold another 20% there to investors. Is that all accurate?
Yeah, more or less. I think okay. We've raised some money since then, and sort of on equity, we are roughly like the founder and staff is at about 50% now.
That's great. Well, so give me an update, because when we last spoke in 2021, you know, COVID times, et cetera, you were at about 30. You were at about 30 customers. You had broken, I think, $500,000 of ARR of revenue. How has the product changed since then, and are you charging more or less than you were back then?
I think we're charging both more and less. So product is more scalable now. So we have a free product. We had a free product back then as well. Free product is now bigger and more useful for our free customers. We have a cheap version of the product, which is reasonably priced. Also, we also have like startup program.
But then what's that price?
So the startup price would start at like $5,000. The free is zero.
$5,000 per year?
Yeah.
And then what's your largest customer paying today, total ACV on that customer account?
Our largest customer is sort of on the other side of six digits now.
Okay, so over $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And how do you get them to expand from free to $5,000 per year to $100,000 per year? What's the upsell mechanism? Is it number of contacts or something else?
Yeah, so that's not the same customer. So I think the free customers would most often would be smaller businesses. whereas a large customer paying north of 100K would be an enterprise customer.
You know, I understand that. What I'm asking, so look, one of the things I think Trustpilot did very well because it worked on me, right, is you guys would carve out, like, every single thing extra I wanted was always more money. Like, if I wanted a certain widget, more money. Premium version of the widget, more money. And before you know it, I'm paying $600 a month for a review tool plugin. So I assume you took some of this over here. I mean, when I look at your pricing page, you've got like 9 bullets under every single one of these things. And then you also give yourself and your AEs the ability to upsell based off numerical values, like number of years, user activity history, seats included, and MTUs. Of those three, which are the most powerful upsell mechanism for you?
I would say it's the packages themselves. So it's the feature sets. The feature sets are more or less aligned with different sizes of businesses. So we have add-ons, and like typically we package it so that we have an add-on from a larger package and a smaller package in case somebody needs it. But usually, like, an enterprise customer would fit into the enterprise plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess let me ask this differently. Someone paying you $600 a month on your team plan, which usage limit are they most likely to hit the quickest? 10 seats or 30,000 MTUs?
Oh, the MTUs.
Got it.
Definitely. Yeah. So the seat metric makes sense in some very specific use cases, which is why we price on it. But the major driver there is the MTUs, like monthly tracked users, which is basically a data sort of proxy.
How did you make decisions on things like putting the avoid ad blockers feature in the business plan versus keeping the B2B web analytics in the free plan? I mean, how do you decide on all these things?
So I think that, like, in a free plan, you need a reasonable unit economics. So you need sort of you need to be super careful about cost, of course, if you're giving the product away for free. So there's a lot of thinking around, like, how do we maintain a reasonable cost on that product? So that's a key thing, right? And then, of course, we want to keep each product package needs to have a meaningful feature set that's useful so that people love using it. But especially on a free plan, you want to make sure that there is something to buy. Like, there are things that you would like to know, like, okay, what happened? I can look 2 months back in time. B2B sales cycles are often significantly longer than 2 months. So you want to look further back, right? So there's always, like you say, there's always an upsell.
Yep. And so how many, remember you had 30 back in 2021, how many customers are on the platform today, paid only?
So yeah, we 120 paid and roughly like 600 free customers.
That's great. So I guess the next question I have for you, because you have one of the more sophisticated pricing pages I've seen, whenever I see a pricing page this sophisticated, I go, okay, they really understand where they're adding value, because you also not only decide what utility-based metrics to upsell against, MTUs, monthly tracked users, you also make decisions around which product features are in each bucket, but you also then have to decide what do you want to actually keep out of all of the plans and sell them as a separate add-on altogether, like content performance or return on investment report. How do you make that decision? Why is content analytics an add-on and not included in one of the packages?
I think one of the key things, like, if you want to have something as an add-on, you need to make sure that the base package makes sense. And often we'll see, like, that the add-on feature is something that is not relevant for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think this is a way of avoiding a situation where you sort of, you're charging, let's say, 25K for the product, and people go like, but, oh, I don't use this thing. I want a discount. So you avoid that by saying, okay, look, we'll keep that out of the package. We don't have to discuss that. So there's a lot about, I think pricing is a lot about, of course, like, extracting value from a customer, super important. Creating something that's experienced as fair from both sides. Everybody can understand the pricing. And So that's definitely there.
And so when you look at the monthly plans, the upsells, the add-ons, what's the average customer paying per year these days?
So the grand total is sort of in the mid-20s. Okay. But that's like you say, like, okay, you got some people paying nothing. And you got some people paying plus 100. So there's a big spread there.
Mm-hmm. If we just take mid-20s, 25 grand a year times 120 customers, it puts you at about a 3 million run rate today.
Yeah, that's roughly there.
And where were you exactly a year ago so we can calculate run rate?
So we did roughly 100% year-on-year growth.
Okay, well, so once you finished last year, you know, middle of last year, you're at like a 1.5 million run rate, something like that.
Yeah.
That's great. And what would you attribute most of that growth to? Expansion into historical accounts or adding brand new accounts together altogether?
It's a mix, definitely. Mm-hmm. But we are growing a lot on the new biz side for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's great. So what's the plan this year? What do you hope to grow this year?
So we're hoping to keep that growth pace of around 100% year-on-year growth. So mm-hmm. that's the target for us. We have sort of significant goals around sort of expanding upwards in the market. I think we started with a scalable product, which is like one philosophy. So you start with something that's super scalable and then you go enterprise later. Some people start an enterprise, makes it kind of hard to go super scalable, we feel. So now we are putting a lot of effort into enterprise. If you see the feature set, we have added a lot of what you would call like enterprise readiness features to be able to serve those customers.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my comments coming into this, right? Is if I didn't know what your revenue was and I only looked at your pricing page, I mean, the complexity on your pricing page suggests to me and looks a lot more like a $30 or $40 million ARR company. So like you're way yeah. sort of ahead of the curve there. How do you manage your org chart in terms of complexity around all these pricing options relative to sort of your stage day, 120 customers, 3 million ARR?
I think we on the pricing side, we made a conscious decision when we founded the company that we would care a lot about pricing because it is one of the like big sort of underutilized levers in a SaaS company. And one of the things we decided from the get-go was, hey, we'll be structured around it and we want to be a company that changes price. You know, we want to be able to repackage. And that means that we, from the get-go, have had structured pricing. So what you want to avoid the situation where you look at your customer base and basically you got 120 customers and they're on 120 different price plans, because that creates like a lot of no predictability in terms of what happens when I change pricing. So we've always been super structured. I would say our price model is sort of semi-public, mm-hmm. but underneath it, we have a price calculator. We don't publish it, but everybody is priced with the same mechanics. So we know exactly how people are priced. And that creates transparency. But yeah, I mean, it is, pricing is complex, but you know, we're engineering types, I guess.
Yep. How many folks are full-time on the team today?
Total team is 45 people.
45. And are you guys still burning cash today each month? Or are you profitable?
No, I think like the math there is like not profitable.
Okay. What are you comfortable with burning? Are you comfortable burning 30 grand a month, 100 grand a month, more?
Yeah. So 30 is fine at the moment. I think we came out of, so 2023 was a rough year in SaaS for everybody. We still grew really well. but it was sort of for us, apart from it being maybe, you know, we grew well, we would have liked to have grown more, but it was also a year of sort of scaling the org. And now the next, like this year and first half of next year is sort of about making revenue catch up with the org size.
Yep.
Double the next 2 years and we'll be at roughly, yeah.
We're about out of time, but just to summarize, you're burning right now about 30 grand a month. You burned maybe more last year, but you're hiring ahead of growth and you hope to get closer to profitability end of this year into next.
Yeah, exactly.
How much of the 4 million seed round from 2020 do you still have in the bank?
Nothing.
Okay.
No. We raised since then.
Oh, you did. How much have you raised since then?
So we raised 7 million Series A in late 22, early 23.
Oh, okay, great. What can I ask what valuation that was at? That was the heyday. Those were the big rounds.
Yeah, I think it wasn't that great. It was kind of a little bit of when things were slowing down a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were, I'm not. I
like 30 million-ish, yeah, 40 million?
Yeah, that range there.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, you sold something like 15, 16% of the company.
Yeah, so I think in total we're at that like roughly 50% of ownership for the founding team, and
that's great. Well, that means you have some of that 7 million left, so you've got plenty of runway.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up here, Lars, with the famous five. Number one, your favorite book.
Oh, my favorite book. Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but Marty Kagan came out with a new book. But before that, it would be Love. So, like, I'm a big fan of Marty Kagan, who's like product management guru. That's probably the most influential book for me in SaaS.
Number two, is there a CEO you're following or studying?
CEO I'm following. Oh, shit.
You can say none.
None. Yeah, no.
Number three, what's your favorite online tool for building the business?
My favorite online tool for building the business, I think, like, okay, I'm going to be a bit selfish here. I love our own product.
Besides your own.
Besides our own, I'm a big HubSpot fan. I think it's just a marvelous tool. I'm super happy with that.
Number four, how many hours of sleep do you get every night?
What? Hours of sleep? Yeah, six to eight.
Okay. And situation, married, single, kids?
Married, lots of kids.
Two kids still, or got another one?
Three.
Three kids now. Congratulations. That's exciting. Yeah. And how old are you? What, 40? Do you have a birthday? 40 years old, 41?
Me? 53.
Oh, you're 53. Is that right? You're 53 today?
Yeah.
Okay. Take me back to when you were 20. What's something you wish you knew back then?
When I was 20, what was the question?
Something you wish you knew.
I wish I knew. Yeah, it's fun doing a startup. I would have done it earlier.
Guys, there you have it. Dreamdata.io.com launched many years ago, broke $3 million run rate today, up from $1.5 million just a year ago. They also, beginning of last year, closed a $7 million Series A round. Company and employees still own about 50% of the company. They're burning about $30,000 a month right now, but plenty of runway. They've hired a team of 45. They're hiring ahead of revenue, obviously trying to grow into that revenue figure and their cost structure over the next 12 to 18 months, hoping to double the $3 million run rate today up to $6 million by the end of the year as they compete in the B2B marketing, SaaS, and most importantly, just organizing your data in the marketing org space with a complete and very clear pricing plan. ARPUs today in the $2,000 per month range, $25,000 per year across 120 paying customers. Lars, thanks for taking us to the top.
Thanks, Nathan.